to do it there, so I'm lost. I'll just show you one thing. The beginning of Parshat Bo, I'm going to really discuss the end of Parshat Bo Eiro. I'm sorry. But in the beginning of Parshat Bo, the Torah says, which is this week's Parsha, Vayom Hashem Moshe Bo Paro, Ki Ani Hichbarati Eslibo Veslev Abodov, Leman Shisi Ososa Eile Bekirbo. Direct Hashem instructs Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's, I'm sorry, I hope you don't mind, I push it. So it said, the reason for all this is in order that, this is the mitzvah, by the way, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is already alluded to here. Ulaman tisaper, boz de bincha o ben bincha. You see, Pasuk Beis? That the Torah says that there's an obligation to tell your children and your grandchildren, Esa sher salalti bin Mitzrayim, ves ososai sher samti bom bidatem ki ani Hashem. So that's the obligation that is mentioned. Now the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, and if you learn any Ramban al Torah, this is the one you should learn. It's one of the longest Rambans al Torah, that's also true. However, he already brought it to me, so I appreciate it. I know you had the machshava to do it, so both of you did it. Anyway, the Ramban al Torah over here, in his commentary at the conclusion of the Esrei Makos, the Ramban says that here the Torah has presented us with many, many nisim. Maybe give Daniel a chumash and maybe... You'll give take a chumash and take two, and put one over there. Thank you. The Ramban says that from the nisim hagluyim, or the well-known miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim, that's what we know about nisim hanistorim. We know also about the hidden miracles, and the Ramban seems to indicate that really the nisim hanistorim are the yisod of kol haTorah kula. That's what he writes at the end of Parshas Bo. It may be the most important Ramban chumash, according to my humble opinion, even though they're all important. But the Ramban says that from the nisim hagdolim, we learn about the Nisim HaNistarim, and he writes that a person has no share, no chelik in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, unless you believe that everything that happens in our lives is miraculous. It's all Ness. Everything that occurs in the world is all Ness, and there are no Chuki HaTeva, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's operating. And obviously that's the whole idea of what happened in Mitzrayim, is to teach us essentially that everything comes from Hashem, and He's the source of, shall we say, the source of everything. Now, the reason why I begin with that introduction is because, let us take a look now in what Daniel was concerned about in last week's Parsha, the end of Va'era. Parsha is Vo'era, that's in Perites. I'm going to read these psukim that are very, I would say, quite difficult. The psukim at the end of Parsha is Vo'era. The Torah tells us over here, this is in the aftermath of the Makkah of Borod. Borod, of course, refers to hail, hailstorms. And there were a lot of nisim, actually, in the Makkah of Borod itself, as you probably know, Rashi already points out, look in Pasuk Chavdalid, Perites Pasuk Chavdalid, the Torah says, Vayihi Borod, Ve'esh Mislakachat B'toch HaBorod. He says, I have Esh and Mayim that live together. That, of course, itself is clearly a remarkable kind of miracle. Normally, Mayim is Mechabe Esh, water actually extinguishes fire. And the Torah says that in the Makkah of Borod, both of them were able to coexist. I am deferring the Navi a little bit because my time is very limited, they told me, Rabbi Elshin. And therefore, I'm discussing Daniel Fleischer here, asked me a very significant question on the Chumash, and that's all I'm going to answer it, attempt to. So it says, Vayhi Barad, the end of Va'era, Perek Tes Pasuk Chavdalad, Ve'esh Misakaka B'toch HaBarad, Kaved Me'od, Asher Lo Yach HaMod Chalaretz Mitzrayim, Me'az Ha'isod HaGoy. This was a remarkable kind of Makkah. And it says that there was never any such phenomena that occurred. Apparently, one had and literally, it smote all of Mitzrayim. Just broke everything in its path. However, there was one place where there was no Borod, namely, Rak Be'eretz Goshen, Hashem B'nai Yisrael, Lohaya Borod, which is obviously miraculous. Since we're talking about, you know, I used to say, I don't know if this is true, but when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I know there's something very fascinating, that you can have a rainstorm that is coming down, I'm talking about in torrents, and dollar amos away, it is shining. I'm talking dollar amos away. So I'm not a weatherman, I'm not a meteorologist, I never saw such a phenomenon in my entire life anywhere, except in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, anyway, Vayishach Paro, Vayikad Moshe L'ar, Vayam Alem Chatos Yapam, of course, what is Paro right away? How does he react? He claps al chet, Hashem HaTzadik, Vani Vami Horoshoyim, Hatiru Hashem, V'ram Yos Kolos Elohim Mavorot, I had enough of this, V'ashalcho Eschem, V'lo Sosifu L'amod, I'm going to let them go, no problem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, V'ayom Elohim Moshe, Kitzesi HaSayir, so Moshe says, when I leave the city, Ephros says kapay al Hashem. I'm gonna, obviously this language is a very beautiful language. Prisas kapay is usually that which is done by whom? By Kohanim. But that's what he's going to do. He'll spread his arms. Hakolos yechdolun v'habarod lo yeo. The man teidak el Hashem aretz. And now comes the psukim that we're interested in. So now the Torah actually concludes this parsha with, as I said, with Barod, and it tells you what happened. V'atov avodecha yadati. I know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki terem terum ne'Hashem elokim. I know very well that it's not going to have much of an impact. Fine. And now the Torah says, now look at these psukim. V'apishta v'hasora nukosa. Translate. The flax and the barley were struck. Why? Ki hasora aviv, because the barley was ripe. V'apishta givo, and the flax was in its stalk. Meaning, and this is what the Rishonim say, Rashi on the spot points this out, the flax and the barley were damaged by the barod because they were ripened early. And therefore they were already hard. And Rashi points out that something which is hard, obviously, is going to easily break, or break more easily. Mashen Kein, the Torah says, what about V'achit V'akusemes, the next pasuk, Lamed Beis, Lo Nuku. They were not struck. Why? Ki Afilos Heina, because they were basically, they ripened later. That's what Rashi points out. Look at Mashi, Lamed Beis, Ki Afilos Heina, Me'ucharos, says Rashi, V'adayin Hoyu Rakos. They were still what? They were still soft. And they were able to somehow, because they were soft when the hail fell, they were able to bend without breaking it. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. And that's what Rashi learns is the pshut of Shemikra over here. But then, take a look in Rashi at the end. Umedrish Rabbi Tanchuma Yesh Merab Oseinu. Rashi quotes a medrish. Shenechiku alzos. They disagree with this pshat. Which is the Pasha Pshad in the Pasuk. Could you give Mendel a Chumash there, Ari, if you don't mind? I'm sorry. No, it's fine. You came prepared, armed with the proper ammunition. So here, at the end of, says Rashi, Yesh Rabbah says, Shenech Guazos V'Darshu Ki Afilos. What is the term Afilos? What is it apparently related to? Pile Plos. You hear what Rashi says? He takes the word afilot. And what does Rashi see in there? Pil e plos, which means, I use the expression pil e ploim. Wonder of wonders was performed for them. Shalom loku, that they were not hit. This Rashi that he quotes in the Medrash Tanchuma is, as they say in simple Yiddish, shver bizgor. And that's translated as impossible to understand. For several reasons. Number one, the first explanation of Rashi seems to me quite plausible. Would you not say so, Sar? Namely, hard objects break more easily than soft ones. That's a double yadua. I think we can give a number of examples of this phenomenon here. You take a chumash if you don't mind, Alex. Thank you very much. We're discussing the psukim at the end of Vo'era. Vo'era, as I pointed out many times. Somehow people confuse Vayera and Vo'era, so I have to make it clear. But the Rashi's first explanation seems to be, as I said, very logical. And by the way, the Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Tainus, where the Gemara says that a person, Le'olam ye'odam rach kikoneh, a person should always be soft like a reed, below kosher. Ka'arzi al-vonon, is that Lashon Gemara? And not hard, like a cedar, so as not to break. So, I don't understand. Why does Rashi need this Medrash Tanchuma? Pil e plo'oi, says Rashi. That's Lashon again. Shalom loku. Wonder of wonders that they were not smitten. That's question one. Secondly, the word afilos has nothing to do with pil e plo'os, with all due respect, Yosef. The word afilos always means later. Why did Chazal provide this additional definition, which is not the correct definition? Lichora. And thirdly, I want to know why Rashi doubles the lashon. It's enough that it's a pele. Pele plos. I think I told you, I used to hear many, many years ago, a Rav Shvadron, Sechatzal Dibracha. He's the one who made him famous, Ki'ilu. Rabbi Krohn, the Mayel, in the Magid books. You ever saw the Magid books? No one here knows about the Magid books of Rabbi Krohn? Rabbi Pesach Krohn? Yes. There must be about at least 10 of them.
Are they English ones?
Yeah. Are they what?
They're in English, eh?
Yes. Chas v'shalom, you should write them in Hebrew. So Rabbi Krohn wrote a lot of books about Rav Shradron. So when I was in the Yeshiva Itri, in Tavshin Laman Al, Tavshin Laman Beis, every Friday night, my brothers and I, we would walk to Yerushalayim from Itri's in Beit Tzfafa, in Talpiot, what's known as Talpiot, there was no Talpiot then. We used to walk from there to Yerushalayim to hear HaGoyin Rav Shalom Shadron, the Magid of Yerushalayim. 1 week in Yiddish and 1 week in Hebrew, he spoke in two different shuls, and that's what we did. And I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds and hundreds of people used to come listen to him. He was a charismatic, beyond charismatic, and he also had what to say. He also probably knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. He's a brother-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, and he used to learn Rabbi Yashiv. They say, this is what they say, I can't even begin to deal with this, 700 blot a month, something along those lines, whatever that means. Anyway, so after he finished, there were little children hanging from the rafters, and they used to sing the following. They used to imitate him. And he used to say a lot of times, Pile pluim, neir neirus, haf liba feli. So he used to say all the time. That was one of his favorite lines. So whenever I see this Rashi, I'm reminded of Rav Shradron. Yes. Did you hear the questions that I asked you? Thank you. These are the questions that were asked by Daniel Fleischer, your colleague, your very beloved and highly enamored of colleague. Yes.
If there's fire inside of the hail, so why does it matter if it's soft or hard? It'd still burn.
That's Nacha Kasha. You know who has this Kasha? My father. All of us show was bought by that Kasha.
That's why that Mishnah Chukma says this.
That's the Pili Plois. Yeah. But Rashi earlier alludes to this. If you look in Rashi earlier, which you're probably familiar with. If you look at Rashi, Mislakachet Besoch HaBoron, Chav Dalet, that Pasuk Chav Dalet, that when the Torah describes this market, it says, Eish Mislakachet Besoch HaBoron, it says, Rashi, Neis Betof Neis. You hear that, Rashi? See what I'm reading? Yosef? It wasn't just the Neis, the fact that Eish came down from upstairs, but rather, Eish V'HaBoron Mo'orobi, V'HaBoron Mayimhu. It's fire and water. Fire and water don't generally, shall we say, coexist, says Rashi. Vilasas return kainam basu shalom b'neim. Isn't that amazing? By the way, Rashi, Chazal say the same thing about the, shall we say, our enemies. They can hate each other's guts, and they're ready to kill each other, and they're ready to destroy each other. However, when it comes to getting rid of Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden they become such good friends and such pals. They become such wonderful allies. And they're all allied with each other, means in order to do that which they want to do, destroy Klal Yisrael, Osim Shalom B'neim. So that Rashi calls that Neis B'tof Neis. So he doesn't say it over here. That's not the mashmos of this Rashi here. And Rashi says, Pili Plos, Nasulem Shalom Lokum. Anyway, this question I asked already many, many years ago, HaGoyin Rav Nevin Sol Shlita. My father was very bothered by this. I never saw a good shot that I was happy with. I must have asked him this question 18 years ago. And here's what he tells me. You know, that going and give you answers on the spot, you know, like they thought of everything. There's not a problem they're not aware of and not familiar with. So he says like this. He says that what Rashi initially quoted, which is a push of shot, would you not agree with me? That's a simple shot, the difference between something hard and something soft. He said what Rashi quotes is Medrash Tanchuma. They basically agree with the initial interpretation, and the reason why the pishta and the seiro, how do you translate them? The flax and the barley were strong because they had ripened earlier, and the chita, the kusemis, the wheat and the spelt did not break because they were softer. Rashi, in the second explanation, they're masking to that. However, the problem is everything that happened in Mitzrayim defied the laws of nature. So many things happened in Mitzrayim that were neged chukei ha-teva, it is mind-boggling. Rabbi Ifra, on Shabbos, I think what he described to me was sufficient. Namely, We know that water is water and blood is blood. That's Pashut. Mayim is Mayim and Dam is Dam. And so earlier on, and he mentioned the Chazal, in Mitzrayim, a Jew and non-Jew could drink from the same cup. And yet what is the Jew drinking? He's drinking water. What's the Egyptian drinking? He's drinking blood. He's drinking Dam. Now, that is clearly contrary to my understanding of nature, my understanding of Teva, completely contrary. So, this Makkah of Barad was in itself, as Rashi quotes, the Rashi that I quoted to you, was a Nes Betoch Nes, correct? The fact that you have the water doesn't extinguish the fire. It was essentially, what happened in Mitzrayim? Chuki HaTeva was suspended. That's what he told me. There were no laws of nature. Everything was suspended, and there are many, many rayas to this in many different respects. And the fact that the wheat and the spelt were not destroyed because they didn't ripen, on the surface it appears to go, shall we say, lich ora lefi hateva, it's not so. One second, let me just finish. It is pile plos, what Rashi says here. It is pile plos, it is a miracle within a miracle. Now, within this great wonder of Barad, there exists another miracle, namely, that the wheat and the spelt, lefi chuki hateva, were not destroyed. So I would have thought that such a fierce hailstorm would destroy them as well. That's what I would have thought. It means all the makos in the Mitzrayim were what we call supernatural, unnatural, metaphysical. So anything that remained loyal to the laws of nature, you know what that is? A nes betoch nes. That's what Rabbi Nevinson told me. You hear what he's saying? Yosef, do you hear what I'm saying? Daniel. Since this is addressed to you. You hear what Rabbi Levinson told me? That's what he told me. And by the way, this fits with the, as you know, the kasha of the Beis Yosef. It always reminds me of the kasha of the Beis Yosef. Name the Beis Yosef, yes. Famous kasha. What's his kasha? Why the Chazal, that Chanukah, they were geyser, that the Yom Tov of Chanukah is 8 days. There was enough olive oil to burn for 1 day, so the next was obviously only for 7 days. It should be a 7-day Yom Tov. And you know there's all Sefer. How many answers are there to this question?
500.
How many did you say?
500.
Well, that I don't know. Correct. There are literally many, many answers. I didn't hear that number, honestly, to be honest with you. So I saw from Rav Kook Zatzal, and I think Atzi Pesach Frank Zatzal also gives the same answer. They both suggest, this is not among the common answers, but they contend that that had Hanukkah been a 7-day Yom Tov, people would make for themselves a menorah of 7 branches. That's what would have happened. And that would be, as you know, an Isser. The Torah says later on, if you remember, Yahweh constructed anything that emulates a kli that was used in the Beis Hamikdash.
One second,
if you don't mind. And it's a Gemara Shoshana. That's why Chazal declared Yom Tov to be Chanukah 8 days to prevent people from violating this, shall we say, this Islam. That's a Chiddush Gadol Me'od, according to my humble opinion. I don't think that's a simple pshat. I'm just saying, one second, let me just say one more thing. I want to get to my point. However, there's a famous answer of the Altar of Kelm. What was his name? Rav Simcha Zissel? Remember him? Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm, one of the great Balei Musa, so he answered the Kasha in a different kind of way. And this answer that he gives is more relevant to our discussion that we just had now. The fact is, if we celebrate Hanukkah for 7 days, that would be a statement that there's a distinction between Shemen Shalnes, that only Hashem could light, and let's say Shemen, how would you say, TV, and natural light that lights on its own. Chazal wanted to show us there's no difference. There's no distinction between Shemen Shalnes and Shemen Shalteva, between miracle oil and natural oil. Just as miracle oil doesn't follow the laws of physics, so too, natural oil does not follow that as well. There's a Gemara, and I wrote down this Gemara for myself. The Gemara, you know the Gemara, probably you're familiar with it. Oh, the Gemara tells you a whole story, but Rab Chanina ben Daisa, it's a Gemara in Tainus on Chafei. I'll read Lashon of the Gemara. Accidentally, she filled her, the Shabbos menorah, with chometz, with vinegar, and not shemen. So her father said, don't worry. Mi she'amar l'shemen she'yidalek, yomar l'chometz she'yidalek. The one who commanded the altar burn, He can command the vinegar to run as well. There's no difference between oil and vinegar. The only reason why this one ignites and this one doesn't ignite, you know why? That's the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ratzon of Ribbono Shel Olam. So what does it mean? There's no laws of nature? Why is it that when I plant corn in the ground, the corn grows, and if I take a dead body and bury it in the ground, it doesn't get up and walk? Why not? Or, that's correct. Or, for that matter, I put water in the stove, under the fire, then it's going to boil. The water will cook. If I leave it in the refrigerator, it's going to cool down. Why? Who says that tomorrow morning the sun's going to rise in the east? Maybe not. And actually, the way Rav Tukachinsky, there was a great God of Yerushalayim, Rav Tukachinsky, Echil Michal. You know, there's a Luachi, I don't know if you know the Luach of Yerushalayim, there's a Luachi put together, and he has a very precise luach. He was a shtickle mathematician as well. But the Ramban, in the beginning of that piece, at the end of Parshas Bo, the Ramban says, basically, there are no chukei ha-teva. Everything is Yad Hashem. Everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam, from beginning to end.
Isn't that itself chukei ha-teva?
What does that mean, that statement that you make?
There is an order that
you
see, but that is return
of
Hashem.
Okay, I'm saying that. So what you mean is that nature is only indicator. Should Hashem desire, He can change nature without informing us. Okay, excellent. I'm asking to you. Obviously, the reason why the world has to run with Chukei HaTeva is Pashin. I think someone said it here. I forgot who said it. Because of Bechira Chavshis. What's that? It means that if it would be obvious that Emes Hashem Shabbos is going to have Arichas Yom Bishanim and be healthy and be robust, and somehow be matzliach, and shall we say, get a great schar. And while Hashem came, someone who, let's say, God forbid, Mechal Shabbos is going to die instantaneously, then obviously, who's going to be Mechal Shabbos? Not a soul be Mechal Shabbos. That's Pashut. So the whole idea, and basically, nature, to a large extent, is a test of our emunah. That's what the Ramban writes. The Ramban in the other parts of the book. We'll take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban basically says, there are no chukei ha-teva. Everything is Yad Hashem, from beginning to end. And that is exactly, I believe, the pshat here. This is what Rav Nevinsol told me. I'm just telling you what he said, pshat here in this Rashi. I saw, actually, I went looking in the Medrash Tanchuma. I wrote it down for myself. But basically, nature is in Nisoyim. You want to go ahead and make a mistake and attribute somehow nature, you're saying it's all coincidental, and not see the Yad Hashem. Chazal si kalorot zelbitos, you have a You want to make a mistake? You can make a mistake. You have a chirach hafshis, you can do as you wish. Interpret what happens in the world as you so desire. But the fact of the matter is that the Yisod HaDvarim, that clearly nature has no intrinsic power of its own. Hashem created the world with certain immutable laws of nature, of chemistry, of botany, of biology, of zoology, whatever it may be. But ultimately, everything is Yad Hashem. Yes, let's start over here. Go ahead.
Right outside the Kotel, there's a menorah with seven branches.
It's for the future
baby,
isn't it? Like, didn't they reconstruct all the
cables
for the future baby?
That's what
they
said.
No, I think that's just.
I'm not responsible for
it's a big one also.
What they're doing outside the Kotel. There are a lot of things that are done here in this country that leave what to be desired.
That's not
from a halachic standpoint. I'm not achroy for it. Yeah.
Why were we expelled to save, or why those meaning?
Okay, that's a kasha. That's a good kasha. I don't know the answer to that question. That's what I was going to say. That's what I said. Because chita and kusemis, as you know, are. But the truth is, sorah is also one of the. However, chita is clearly more desirable. It's the ideal. Even matzah, that many pasukim say, after matzah, she didn't have a chita, as opposed to making it out of sorah. I mean, the truth is that. But I don't really. I think the questions are better than the answer.
What would be the lesson out of that?
You know, the amazing thing is that people in this country listen to the news every 5 minutes. I never saw anything like it in my entire life. The United States, do people listen to the news as much as they do over here? You go on a bus here, that's all they do all day, is chadashot, the same. And you know, the amazing thing is that, so you would think that that somehow everything is has nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything is somehow man-made, and we're the ones. And of course, here, by the way, there's a reason to listen to Chadashot, because everything changes every 10 minutes. Hashem came, let's say you go to Iowa, trust me, you go to Iowa 55 years ago, the same, nothing has happened 55 years. I don't mean to be so disrespectful.
Not from Iowa.
I know. In Chicago, there's Al-Bazach. I'm just saying that I don't see anything, except maybe Farmer Jones decided to put on the different long johns today, as opposed to 55 years ago. Other than that, nothing has happened. But in Eretz Yisrael, wow, this is, as they say here, what? That's correct. A lot of action is taking place. That's a favorite word of Israelis, action. They're always looking for action. But it's all Yad Hashem. Yeah, Alex, yeah.
If Hashem created Teva, and he created the sort of system that everything works within, then why would Hashem himself go against it? Why would Hashem himself go against Teva that he created?
That's what I would say also. It shows that he's in control. That every once in a while, Ribbono Shel Olam will do something which is Neged HaTeva, to show that there's Yad Hashem. That's what the Ramban says. You saw the Lashon Ramban? The end of Parshas Bo? Oh, I began with that. But the Ramban says, Min HaNisim HaGdolim, from the great miracles, namely the overt miracles that Hashem performs, we learn that everything is a Nes Nistar. HaKol Nisim Nistar. By the way, according to the Ramban, it comes out, this is, I believe I saw this discussed also in the Sefer Darash Darash Yosef. Very nice yisod he has over there, based on this Ramban. That's what our salvation pointed out. We tend to think that which is greater, a Nes Nigla or a Nes Nista? Of course a Nes Nigla. What's the Shaila? It's an overt miracle. It runs counter to nature. Said our salvation, poof, faker, you see from this Ramban. Incorrect. Totally wrong. Dafka, Nes Nista. That is itself much, much greater. And he refers to a Gemara in Shabbos. You probably know the Gemara. The Gemara tells about a person whose wife died and had a little baby, a little child who required nursing. And what happened? The Gemara said the husband developed breasts. So the Gemara has two opinions. One says, wow, look at that. And the other one said, what? Can I see the Lashon of the Gemara in Shabbos? I can show it to you, if you don't mind. Okay, I have to disappear. Thank you very much. The Gemara says here in Shabbos, what a Gemara. Let's hope I can find it. It's in the Prokem and Shabbos that, of course, no one learns. The middle Prokem, all these Prokem, they're actually, they were telling me, what daf is it on?
Awesome.
One of these daf is right here. Here it is! Nun Gimel Aveh, that's where it's supposed to be. Tara Rabbanan, Maisa Be'echad Shemesa Ishto, V'inich HaBein, he left the child to be nursed, V'lo Yolo Scham, V'inichal Ditev, V'nas Lo Nes, V'niftit Kolo Dadi, Kishne Dadi Isha, developed breasts as a woman. V'inichas Beno, he nursed his child. Amar Rav Yisrael, Bore, come and go to Olam Zeh, Shenas Lo Nes Kazeh, look at this unbelievableness. How terrible he is. Because of him, HaKadosh Baruch had to change Sidrei Bereishis. The famous Gemara. Okay, there's a lot to talk about in this Gemara, but I'm interested in simply pointing out here you have an unbelievable overt miracle. And yet, the Gemara's Machlek is whether this is a good thing or not such a good thing. So that's what, anyway, our Salvation points out there, the Darash Yosef piece, that based on the Ramban, that Nisim Gedolim, that's not what counts. The fact that Ribbono Shel Olam on an ongoing basis, and we say in the Modim, the Al Nisecha, Shebechol Yom Yomonu. What kind of Nisim are they? Nisim Mishtarim. Not Nisim Gluyim, not overt miracles, not Kriyas Yamsuf, not any of that. And that's the Gabbos that we see the Yad Hashem in Teva. Anyway, that's the Pshat in this Pilei Plois Rashi, which is Pilei Plois. Yeah. Can I trouble you again, Daniel? Sorry. Yeah, it's very cool.